Our scripture passage for today is a familiar one from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 12. And we're on our fifth core value of the congregation, generous stewardship. Paul says in writing to the Corinthians, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have determined in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Eileen Taylor had something sweet on her mind in the drive-thru line at Heavenly Donuts. But it wasn't a donut. Just the day before, a stranger in the car ahead of her had generously paid for her coffee and then driven off. She said, it made such a difference in my day. She'd recently lost her job. She was a physician's assistant. Money was tight. And in spite of the fact that she needed the money herself, she was so inspired by what the car in front of her did that she picked up the $12 tab for the car behind her. And what she didn't know was that her kindness would go viral. In a chain reaction, dozens of other drive-through customers started paying backwards. And in 2.5 hours, 55 drivers had paid for the order of the person behind them in the drive-through line. You might have read about this on Facebook. It happened a couple of years ago. And now Eileen is back at work as a physician's assistant. She visits Heavenly Donuts still every Saturday morning. And she grabs a coffee and then she pays for the order of the customer behind her every week. It's her way of reminding herself of all that she has to be thankful for. She's become addicted to generous stewardship, to the rush of joy that comes from cheerful generosity. Generous stewardship goes deep in our DNA here at First United Presbyterian Church. Some of you may know that we've been working on a coffee table book history of our church for the last several years. It's almost ready to go to the publisher. A couple of years ago, I was doing some research on the church just after the Civil War. And it was fun for me in reading the minutes of the Cumberland branch of our heritage. We have a Southern Presbyterian branch and a Cumberland branch that merged together. The first was the first church in Fayetteville in 1830, the Cumberlands, and the other church came in the 1870s. It was planted by the Southern Presbyterians. But as I was looking through the minutes of the Cumberland Church, I ran across fundraising and stewardship campaigns from our earliest history, probably the first ones we had in our church. In the 1870s, they had to raise money for a building because the building that at the time of the Civil War had been burned by the Confederates to keep the Union Army from occupying Fayetteville and having all of those resources. And then by 1885, we were actually starting to develop the idea of pledges and pledge cards. The deacons were responsible for it in those days, and we actually have a copy of the content of the first pledge card. It wasn't a card at the time, it would have been a sheet of paper, but a pledge paper that would make a pledge commitment to support your church in the coming year. Generosity began to grow in the congregation after that. They did build that building. We grew and we had another building campaign for a whole new church building that was down where the post office is today in 1906, and the southern branch of the Presbyterian Church, First Presbyterian Church, built on the northwest corner of Spring and College Street. And both of them in that period practiced generous stewardship. It's still happening today. Some of you will remember the building campaign that helped bring the campus up to this hill. And we built most of what's here except for the sanctuary. And then in 1971, we built this sanctuary, and that was another stewardship campaign for generous stewardship. There was a time when the walkways were put over the sidewalks and the Witherspoon building was built and the office area and the library area and most of first school just a little bit. It was like 13, 14 years ago, not too long before Jan and I came. So generous stewardship is one of our deepest and most authentic core values here at FUPC. You'll remember that the most recent capital campaign we had to pay off the debt, the goal was $500,000. You all gave $600,000. Isn't that incredible? There's two basic Christian ideas in generous stewardship. Of course, the first one is generosity. And I think it's important for that one to come and to be mentioned first. Because generosity is our response to God's generosity in our lives, and it's what motivates appropriate stewardship. The second part, the idea of stewardship, has to do with managing all of our resources in the awareness that they are not ours at all, that they're gifts of God given to us to manage on God's behalf, to put into the service of God's kingdom. So generous stewardship goes deep in our bones here at FUPC. And it's good to have a stewardship sermon that doesn't have any immediate result in mind, isn't it? Today we're not trying to raise money for anything in particular. We're just thinking about our core value of generous stewardship as a way of life, as a way of being, as a way of being faithful, responsive Christians. Now, one of our congregation's favorite scripture texts is the one I just read, and there's seven brief verses here, but they say almost everything that needs to be said about generous stewardship. So I hope you'll take out your bulletin, and you'll look again at the scripture text as we go through verse by verse. The basic principle of stewardship is laid down in verse 6 with the metaphor of sowing and reaping. It comes from farming or gardening, doesn't it? If you go out and you only sow a few seeds when you're gardening or you're farming, you're only going to come up with a little bit of crop or a little bit of fruit or a little bit of food, a little bit of flowers. But if you go out and you're generous in sowing, what's going to come up is going to be generous too. And that's the basic idea here. Another metaphor would be priming the pump. If you're out walking in the desert or you're out hiking in the Ozarks and you ran out of water and you came to a pump, you might have to prime the pump with the little bit of water you had left in order to get it to come up. But if you were willing to take the risk of pouring a little water down the hole, it might rise to the level where the pipe would reach it and where it could all come up. And then you'd have as much water as you possibly needed. And there's a nice analogy there to Christian stewardship, because it takes a little faith to pour your water down the hole, the last water you have, just on the trust that more is going to come up when you start pumping the pump. But that's the way God is, according to this verse. It wouldn't be generosity if you waited to be generous until you thought you had more than you need. That wouldn't be generosity. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Verse 7 goes on and defines our attitude in giving. Give as you have determined in your hearts. That's the better translation of that phrase. And another interesting translation of that next phrase would be not because you should, but because you want to. Not because you should, but because you want to. Because God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word for cheerful there is hilarion. It'd be a laughing giver, someone who's so excited about giving that they're laughing while they're giving out of pure joy. Going on to verse 8, this talks about an economy of abundance. An economy of scarcity would be when we go around thinking, well, I don't have much and I need to take care of myself, so I really can't afford to give anything for God's purposes in the world, and I really can't afford to give anything to help others. That's an economy of scarcity. That's assuming that your limited resources are all that you have to give others. But this text says God gives us an economy of abundance because God's resources are infinite. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, it says. And then it goes on to say, we'll always have enough of everything. It takes faith to believe that if we give money away, we'll always have enough of everything that we need. But that's what being a Christian is all about. And that word enough deserves some emphasis, because in our capitalistic, commercialistic culture, the word enough is a bad word, isn't it? When the economy's faltering, everybody starts saying, you need to go out and buy stuff. Get more so you can re-stimulate the economy, because we don't know the meaning of the word enough. We don't have a sense of contentment that, yeah, I have enough. So we feel like everything around us, the media, the advertising, all of it assumes that we need more. And we start believing it, that we can't be happy until we always have more, and that nothing is ever enough. But we'll always have enough of everything, according to this scripture. So we can share abundantly in every good work. We can't outgive God. If we're looking for another metaphor, you're not a cup, you're a pitcher. Some of us live like a cup. We want God to pour into our cup and then we drink it. And that's the end of it. But we're supposed to be a pitcher. God pours into our pitcher and we're pouring out. And we can't pour out faster than God will pour in. So we can't give to others any faster than God will keep giving to us. We'll always have enough. That's the metaphor here in the passage. The more we give, the faster God refills our pitcher. It's a principle that's quickly illustrated in the next verse with a quote from Psalm 112, verse 9. Here, part of living rightly before God is to be generous. This verse in the Psalms is not about God giving generously. It's about us giving generously. It's about the righteous person, the person who wants to live the way God asks us to live, being a generous person, sharing with those in need. That's verse 9. And then in verse 10, the same principle is expanded, and it's all kind of tied together, the whole passage. It goes back to sowing and reaping. It emphasizes God's limitless generosity, and then it connects all of that with a righteous person, a person that wants to live the way God intends for us to live. Then verse 11 goes on and emphasizes a principle that God will pour in faster than we can pour out, which we've already talked about, but it adds another crucial element. Do you see that there? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's the motivation for our giving. Gratitude for God's generosity in our lives. Every day I try to wake up and thank God for 10 things. 10 things, because it needs to be a long list to keep me focused on being grateful. If I only did 3 things, that would be easy. I could say the same 3 things every day, but I try to set out 10 things and I try to make them be different day to day. And then I start thinking all the ways that God has been good to me. Even if your life isn't going well right now, you can find 10 things a day to be thankful for. And when we're grateful, that is a motivation in our lives to be generous to others, because gratitude is like a well of water springing up in us that overflows. The word abundance up in verse 8 is the same word as the word that's translated to overflow in verse 12. And that comes up then 3 times in that passage, the idea of overflowing abundance that God provides for us. God is like an inexhaustible fountain of blessings. Well, let's get practical. How can each of us apply these principles of generous stewardship in our lives as First United Presbyterian Church today? Will you look again at your call to worship? Can you all take out your bulletins and turn to the front? And let's look at our call to worship again. I'm just going to emphasize the things that Daniel said so well. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. That's stewardship of all creation, isn't it? Everything belongs to God, not to us.